Alrighty, well, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 one more time. We had a wonderful discussion about many different things at lunch, as I'm sure many of you did as well. And one of the things that I'm just so very, very thankful for as we get into this tremendously significant topic on the manifestations of Holy Spirit is it just shows how much is available to grow into, how much is available for each of us to continue to learn. Some of us have been doing this ministry, the Word of God, for the great majority of our lives. But yet, in many ways, when it comes to the operation of these manifestations, there's so much more that I can learn and that I can experience. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's fantastic. I know it, sometimes it can seem frustrating because you want to go faster or want to get bigger or better. But how about from the perspective of, look how much opportunity there is for us to continue to grow and mature. How much God is willing to teach us, to help us along the way. And, you know, none of us have this mastered, that's for sure. There was one master of the walk by the Spirit, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He has yet to come back, so in the meantime, we get to grow up. And God doesn't want us to stay as babies, but in some of these manifestations, maybe a lot of us are still in the baby stages, but hopefully this type of teaching that Bruce and I have been able to do will jumpstart growth and learning for a lot of people. And I know one thing is that if you have a desire to learn and grow, that God honors that, and He certainly is very able and willing to teach us and help us along the way. So we're going to conclude this class by looking at the fabulous topic that God works in you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we started this class, it says in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now the word every there, of course, refers to every man who has the Spirit. How could you manifest the Spirit if you don't have it? So given to every born-again one, the manifestation has been given so that we can profit. All of us, as we've been seeing, can operate the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. Now, unfortunately, the history of Christendom is that this information that we've been sharing yesterday and today has largely been buried. It's in the Word. It's all throughout the Word. We've seen that. But it's largely been either buried or ignored, so that very, very few people know about the manifestations. But isn't it terrific that this particular section of Scripture starts in verse 1 of chapter 12, where it says, "Now concerning spiritual matters," or things of the Spirit, "brethren, I would not have you," what? "Ignorant." What does keep people back from operating the Spirit of God is ignorance. If you don't know about the manifestations, can you operate them?
No.
So, certainly the great reason for us to get together over these 2 days, for us to continue to study the Bible and us to continue to avail ourselves of teachings, for us to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, is to seek knowledge so that we're not ignorant of spiritual matters. Now, how about someone who has been taught? How about someone who isn't ignorant? How about someone who knows they can operate the nine manifestations? Who can tell you a definition of each one? Who can refer to many records in the Word where it's operated? How about someone who can't claim ignorance, but still doesn't utilize and manifest the Spirit of God? Well, verse 12 addresses that. It says, "But all these nine manifestations worketh or are energized by that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he," the man, "does what? wills. See, to be able to manifest the Spirit of God, you first have to gain a knowledge of how to do it. And that's what Bruce and I have been endeavoring to set before you throughout this weekend. But now that you have the knowledge, what do you have to do? You have to will to operate it. You have to decide, you have to will, by your freedom of will, that you are going to speak in tongues, that you are going to interpret and prophesy in a believer's meeting, that you are going to, in all your ways, acknowledge God and expect God to talk to you, that you are, according to His guidance, going to carry out the manifestation of believing, workings of miracles, gifts of healing. But that is a free will decision. If we decide that we don't want to do it, well, God still loves us. We're still born again of God's Spirit. Jesus Christ is still coming back at any moment to gather us together. The Word of God is still true. We're still wonderful believers. But we certainly would then be limiting God. We wouldn't be growing in this most vital category of our Christian walk. Having a heart, a desire to operate the Spirit of God is now each of our decision, and it's each of our privilege. Go to Philippians. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Now, this will vary, as we've been seeing, very much in each of our lives. One of the reasons that it varies is because some of us have perhaps been given more teaching or more Word of God in a certain categories than others. If some of this is new to you, you haven't had the privilege of operating this as much because of it being new. You haven't been taught yet. Some of it is different hunger levels. You know, some people are more spiritually hungry than others. There can be a lot of different reasons, but each one of us are unique in the body of Christ. Each one of us have our own desires, our own sincere desires of our heart before the Father. There might be things that really pop out at you from this class that you really want to get into. And maybe for somebody else, that's not at all their desire to learn and to grow in, but they have something else. I know this very, very wonderfully from being married for so many years. You know, Carol and I are very like-minded believers. And Carol loves God and loves His Word and is very active in the things of God. But she has things that she wants to do that I don't necessarily have a lot of interest in. And that includes the things of God. I was telling some people at lunch, there was a period of time in her life where it was her great desire to learn about gifts of healings. And as she did, she became much more proficient in operating that manifestation. So much so that oftentimes when people come to our fellowship and they need help, I say, hey, you might want to go talk to Carol because she's really good at it. I was sharing with some of you, there was a time back when we lived in Southern California many years ago where I prayed to God because I wanted to learn about discerning of spirits. And I prayed that a few times, and then I went into my life and was living my life, and then I remember about 6 months later that I prayed that prayer, and I was looking back at all the incredible situations, encounters, and experiences that I had had during that period of time where God was teaching me. Some people would say it was a very weird time, but it was a great time because I was able to grow in my understanding. Hey, there might be some things that you've learned in this class that really have jumped out at you that you want to apply yourself toward. And God has given us the wonderful privilege to will to operate these manifestations. There's a great section in Romans chapter 12 that talks about how the body of Christ is made up, how the church is constructed. It says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same, what? Office. Now, if you read the word office, what do you think of? Like a
work.
Yeah, work, cubicle.
Job, right?
Yeah. No. It's the word that means function, or it means practice. All of us are part of the body of Christ, but we don't all have the same function in the body of Christ. This is another reason why the way that we apply this information is going to vary, because we don't all have the same function. Verse 5, it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Hey, we're all in this together. And then it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us." And then what follows is a listing of varied gifts. Now, this is a very simple, very clear explanation of different functions, verse 4, in the body of Christ. Now, the function is by nature a long suit, or something that you're good at doing. That's what allows you to function. And the comparison here is to the human body, isn't it? Now, just think about the different parts of your body. They all have different functions. You know, hands are very, very good at grasping or holding, right? Very good. Feet are good for walking. Have you ever tried to stand on your hands? Have you ever tried to pick something up with your feet? Well, you can do it, but you're not as good. You know, the hands are adapted. Hands are designed by God for a particular function. And that function just is designed for what it's good at. So what follows here are certain things that believers can be good at in the body of Christ. In other words, their function. It says the first thing mentioned is prophecy. And you'll notice in this section that there's some words in italics in the King James, which means that they were added by the translators. Sometimes when there's a lot of italics in there, it means that the translators weren't real sure of how to handle it well. And so the translation can be a little rough. But really what this says is whether prophecy, do it according to your proportion of believing. You know, all of us can prophesy, right? We saw that very clearly from 1 Corinthians 14. But I think Bruce mentioned yesterday that there's some people when they prophesy that it just blows your socks off. It just, you know, causes G-forces and, you know, parts your hair. You know, it just so blesses you, because some people are really good at it. Now, all of us can prophesy, but there's some people that are really, really good at it. There's a few believers that I fellowship with in California. Whenever they come to my fellowship, I call on them because I know that they have a great long suit, that they really excel at prophecy. By the way, this list here is like a sampling of different long suits or different functions. It's called gifts. It's really like that person, as they function in the body of Christ, they are a gift to the church. When a person is really good, really has a long suit at prophecy, and they prophesy in the church, we're all blessed. It's just wonderful grace of God that we get to hear that. But prophecy here is representative of the nine manifestations. There's some people that are really good at discerning of spirits. There's some people that are really good at gifts of healings. There's other people that have a ministry in word of wisdom. By the way, if you know somebody who's just really good at word of wisdom, those are wonderful people to seek their advice and counsel. Terrific. Long suits, abilities. God wants us to use those abilities that He's given us, that which He's made us to be in the body of Christ. So really what this says is, if prophecy is your long suit, do it according to proportion of believing. Or ministry, if you have a particular ministry or service to provide in ministering. I've seen a translation of this that if you have a ministry, get busy ministering. And then it goes on to say, or he that teaches in teaching. You know, what's this saying? That if your long suit is to teach, what does God want you to do? Teach! Doesn't it make sense? You know, we're not all going to do the same thing. We're not going to have long suits in all of these abilities. All of us can teach, but that doesn't mean that we're all going to be teachers, that that's our long suit. Teaching here is representative of some of the ministries that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and what? Teachers. You know, because I am a minister, and I sometimes represent myself to the secular world, sometimes people will call me Pastor Seed. You know, like if you call up a hotel and you're going to organize a meeting and you tell them that it's a Christian group, they'll start calling you Pastor Seed. And I'll just tell them, I'm not a pastor. You know, not every minister is a pastor. You know, and some people in my fellowship maybe wish I was a pastor, but I'm not. But there's different ministries. There's different long suits in the body of Christ. Whatever your long suit, God wants you to use it. And then it says, or he that exhorteth in exhortation, or get busy exhorting. I remember there's a dear brother of ours, a guy who passed away a few years ago, and at his memorial service, somebody described him as being the great encourager. And that was exactly, it was so apt. Because whenever you're with this wonderful believer, he just so encouraged you that you left better. I guess I tear up a little bit because I miss him. We all miss him. But it says, he that encourages in encouraging. He that gives, let him do it with what? Simplicity. Now listen, all of us should give. Wouldn't you agree? You know, apply giving and receiving. But there's some people that it's a real long suit for. Those of you that would have been around long enough to know him, Dr. Rowell's brother had a real long suit in giving. He was just very generous and very Uncle Harry. And because of that, it was just a wonderful way that God tempered the body together. It allowed his brother to work the word and teach it in so many ways. We had a couple that were in our fellowship back in California for a number of years, and they just were always giving, and they saw the need, and they were just there. Now, we're all to give, but for some people, it's a real long suit. It's their gift to the church. It says, he that rules with diligence. This could be in, you know, the category of governments that are described in 1 Corinthians 12. People who are in leadership positions in the body of Christ. Do it with diligence. He that shows mercy with what? Cheerfulness. And this is just a sampling. It's a representation of some of the things that can be long suits. But the point is, God wants us to utilize the God-given abilities we have, and to function in the body as a contributing member using our long suits. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. You know, sometimes when you're starting out on this stuff, you think, well, you know, what would God have me to do? Well, you might not get the whole picture all at once of what God would have you to do, but I guarantee you there will always be something that God wants you to do and something that you know to do for God. And you know, as you start doing what God wants you to do, you learn, you grow. You know, it's like a walk. You start taking steps and you make progress. And then you start finding out, hey, you know, this is something that I can do well. You know, there's people in the body of Christ that their long suit is prayer. I mean, has anybody ever read about George Mueller? you know, back a few century ago or more. Talk about a long suit in prayer. In the Gospels, who is it? Anna, that it says that she prayed to God day and night. She's like 110 or 15 years old or something. But she had, her long suit was prayer. Hey, all of us are to pray, but for some people, they have a real long suit in it. This is how God put the body together. And boy, when each of us function by believing the Word and using the Spirit that He gave us, then the whole thing starts working together. And I don't know anything sweeter. I don't know anything that I've ever experienced in my life that is better than when the body of Christ is all working together as one. And really, when you start to understand that, it shows how absolutely consequential it can be when there's division. You know, when people aren't on the same page and people aren't using the Spirit of God. But boy, when you see it, and you know, I know I've worked with Bruce and we've seen it at camps or we've seen it at varied times in our lives, and you know, as I'm sure you have, it's just the sweetest thing. Because we all have something to contribute. And then as we each contribute, then everybody is bettered by it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Corinthians, of course, is written from a reproof standpoint. And it kind of reproves some of what we just read back in Romans chapter 12. Because it says in verse 12, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot, verse 15, shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course it's still part of the body. And isn't it silly for a hand to try to do what a foot is designed to do? Now this is getting to some of the real problems that were at Corinth. Bruce mentioned that verse about how they were comparing themselves one to another at Corinth. Comparing themselves by themselves were unwise. See, you know, what I do or what I might be good at, you know, perhaps somebody else isn't, but boy, they have something that they're really good at that I need, that I can be benefited by. All of us have significance. You know, since I've been working this material and understanding it more, one of the things that I just have been so blessed by is to just start to observe and start to see the long suits that each person contributes, like particularly in my in-home fellowship, but also as, you know, other people that I come in contact with. And invariably, God will just help you to see, man, this person is so good at that. And then you just are thankful in your heart for your brother and sister and what they do and what they contribute to your life. But it's very varied. It's not the same contribution. In verse 16, "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?" You know, if we were all going to do the same thing, there'd be so much that would get missed and neglected. Could you imagine if a whole body were an eye? And it showed up on your doorstep for fellowship? I don't know. They couldn't even ring the doorbell. I don't know. Hey, Dad, there's a big eyeball on the front. No, that's not body. "If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has," what? "Pleased Him." Now, why is it that you have a unique, particular function in the body of Christ? Because God hath set you in the body as it's pleased Him. This is not a census thing. You know, I've heard of churches where they hand out a questionnaire and you fill out the questionnaire and then they figure out what you're going to do in the church. The body of Christ is spiritual. And our contribution to the body of Christ is a spiritual contribution by the spiritual abilities that we have. You know, but each one of us are a member in particular, and it's because God hath set us in the body as it's pleased Him. I think God knows what He's doing. He very much knows each one of us. He knows the very hairs upon our head, which for me, it's easier for God to keep track of those than it used to be. But no, but He knows us down to the most minute detail, and He knows our inner heart's desire. And so He sets us in the body as it's pleased Him, and that's the best place for us. It says, verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in what? Particular." And then verse 28 again gets into one of these lists like we read in Romans chapter 12. "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers." This is in the context of long suits, functions. "After that, miracles, then gifts of healings." And then it adds helps, governments, diversities of tongues. This becomes very clear and very understandable that this list, too, is a sampling. It's a sampling of things that people can do well in the body of Christ. And it goes on to say, verse 29, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles?" The answer is no. Not as a long suit, not as your function in the body of Christ, but can we all operate workings of miracles? Yes, we can. It's just that some people will have that as a tremendous long suit. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Not as a long suit, but we can all operate these nine manifestations. And then it says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11 it says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, I've read this section of Scripture for many years, that these five ministries mentioned, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, accomplished three different things. And the three different things that these five ministries accomplished were, number one, the perfecting of the saints, number two, the work of the ministry, and number three, the edifying of the body of Christ. But then I learned that that's not what this verse is saying. Without boring you with some of the technical little reasons, but the word "for" is used three times, and it's different words. But what it says is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the perfecting of the saints. And the word "perfecting" means like the full equipping of the saints, the furnishing of the saints, to help the saints be blessed, be fully equipped. And then the next word "for" indicates so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. You know what that tells you? Is that every saint, and this ain't talking about dead Catholic people, no, every one of us, each saint, each born-again one, has a ministry to perform in the body of Christ. The word "ministry" just means service. Isn't that what we've been seeing? You know, each one of us are members in particular. Each one of us have a long suit. Each one of us have a service to provide in the body of Christ. So apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the full equipping of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Now, when the saints do the work of the ministry, what will be the result? The edifying of the body of Christ. The building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children." That we don't stay in the baby stages. That we get on the grow, that we mature. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, it's interesting. The Bible declares that there are men, this certainly would include women, that lie in wait trying to deceive God's people. You know, they do it by cunning craftiness. You know, try to get you off the word. You know, try to get you blown about with every wind of doctrine. Try to keep you in the baby stages so you don't grow. You know, there'll be people that will tell you you can't operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. You know, people will tell you a lot of things. They'll tell you you can go out and cast out devil spirits and you don't need revelation. You know. Well, you know, we've got to grow up as God's people so that we don't get blown about with every wind of doctrine, some new thing that comes along and just, you know, and by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, it's pretty windy out there. You know, there's a lot of junk trying to blow God's people away from His Word and away from the function that each one of us have in the body of Christ. But it says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of what? Every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, this growth of the church, this maturation of the church, is according to the measure, the effectual working and the measure of every part of the body. So every one of us have a part to play. And as we effectually work, it's going to make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. See, God has worked in each of our lives to bring us to this point. You know, when we're talking about the church, I'm sure you might know that the word church just means called out. You know, God has called us out from whatever we were into before. You know, called out Jew and Gentile. Called out bond or free. Called out male and female. You know, I was a far different person than before God called me. I mean, like, real different. You probably wouldn't recognize me. You know, I had developed a religion. It was rock and roll and drugs and, you know, a lot of stuff. But, you know, when I was into that, you know, there were some fun things and some things that, you know, come up. But deep down, I knew that what I was doing wasn't leading anywhere. I knew that it didn't satisfy me. And the more that I recognized that, I just got so spiritually hungry that I wanted to know. And so I started looking, and I was, you know, looking for God in a lot of wrong places. I tried a lot of different trips. But finally I got to the place where somebody shared the rightly divided word with me. And at first I was just, you know, not sure. But then, man, you start getting the word, and the word starts making sense, and you see how it fits together. And then as you start believing it and see it work in your life, it's life-changing. You know, because God called me. He called me to the body of Christ. I'm part of the church, the called out. You know, He called each one of us. You know, I don't know how He did it all, but you know how He called you, how you've gotten to this point in time. God called you. You know, and now we're in the body of Christ with a function to perform as God's kids. We're all in this thing together, and you know one of the great things about the body of Christ, even though we share so much in common, you don't lose your individuality. That's just talk about how awesome God is. I mean, there are so many things that we share that we have in common, but yet we're each a member in particular of the body of Christ. But God has called us. We're now in the body. And each one of us have the wonderful Word of God to believe. And God, unlike previous administrations, because every one of us have the Spirit of God, God works in each one of us. You know, back in the days of the giving of the law and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and all the great events of the Old Testament, God had a working relationship with perhaps one man or a few people at a time. You know, he had a wonderful relationship with Moses. It says at the end of Deuteronomy that God had a face-to-face relationship with Moses. But it also says in Psalms that God made known His ways unto Moses, but His acts unto who? Israel. In other words, Israel was, you know, kind of watching. You know, the rest of Israel didn't have the Spirit of God. So God worked directly with Moses, and then Moses made known God to the people. You know, we don't live in that period of time. It's not like there's one man of God for the world. It's not one guy who speaks for God who's got the connection everybody else is supposed to, you know, listen to. You know who God works with? All of us. He works with every one of us because each one of us have the Spirit. And that's been His desire all along. If you work the Word, that was His desire in putting Adam and Eve in the garden. It was each one of them, Adam and Eve, both had the Spirit. And each one could walk with God. Unfortunately, they sinned and lost the Spirit. But now Jesus Christ got it back so that we're all born again and God works with each of us. God works in each one of us. Now, how does He work? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in this, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of who? God, which effectually worketh also in you that, what? Believe." So where does the word of God work? It works in you. You know, Mary Rose, you just shared about how the record of, who is it, the widow woman, and, you know, God worked that Word of God in you. The Word of God works in you. Now, we have to supply something. We have to supply believing. We have to believe it. Believe the Word. But God's Word works in you. And not only works in you, it works effectually in you. You know, one of the great things about God's Word that I just absolutely love is God's Word works. You know, I was tired of having things that didn't work so well. But God's Word never fails us, ever. You know, God is faithful to His Word, and God's Word works in you. Look at Philippians. We had this earlier in the class, but Philippians chapter 2. Says in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know, with reverence, respect. Now, somebody could read verse 12 and think that you're supposed to work your way for salvation. That's not what it's talking about. The church of Philippi was already saved, of course. But we do have some work to do, and it's in the category of the renewed mind, you know, to work our salvation into our mind, into our thinking, who we are in Christ, what we have, what we can do. Really, part of our salvation is the ability to operate nine manifestations. So let's work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, reverence, respect. 4, verse 13, "It is God which worketh" where? "In you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, again, it just simply says God works in you. He does. You know, God works in you, and he works in you in a way that you can understand, in a way that you can utilize. God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, in context, wouldn't the all things be the things that God has worked in you? Do all things. Do what God works in you. Do it without murmurings and disputings. And those, you know, can be understood without complaining, without disputing God. You know, if God works something in you, do it. That's what it says. And it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 marks some of the last words that Jesus Christ spoke while he was here upon earth. He says in verse 15, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Some are going to believe and some aren't. And then signs are going to follow them that believe. And signs listed, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents if they do it accidentally. And if they drink any deadly thing, like accidentally, it shall not hurt them. In other words, miraculous protection. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall what? Recover. See, signs, miracles, and wonders following the believing of God's word. But it's initiated by going and preaching, holding forth the word of life, like we read in Philippians. And in verse 19 it says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. In verse 20, and they went what? Forth. Verse 15 had said, go into all the world. And verse 20 says, they went. Now, this is not complicated theology. You know, God says go, and they went. And then it says, and preached everywhere. Verse 15, preach the gospel to every creature. They did it. They went out. They were obedient to what God said to do. And then it says, the Lord working what? With them. And confirming the word with signs following. In many ways, verse 20 of Mark 16 is a summary of what you can read about in detail in the book of Acts. And really, from an administration point of view, from a rightly divided point of view, the book of Acts hasn't ended. It continues to this day. You know, we're all continuing to do what the first century believers did, or should be. We're to go into all the world. You know, preach the gospel to everybody. You know, anywhere and everywhere you can speak God's word. God works with us. You know, he directs our steps. He'll show us people to talk the word to. He'll show us situations to avoid. God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Lord worked with them, and he confirmed the word with signs following. Let's go to Psalm 19 to conclude this class on the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Each one of us have such a God-given privilege and also God-given responsibility to represent the Lord Jesus Christ here upon earth. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are instead of Christ. But each one of us have been equipped. We've been equipped with wonderful knowledge of God's Word, God certainly has perfectly equipped us by giving us the gift of Holy Spirit. But now it's our wonderful privilege, it's our wonderful opportunity to walk with God, to carry out His business, to do what God would have us to do within the body of Christ, to function. You know, a lot of different ways of saying it. To believe God. To be a son of God in the world, shining forth as a light, holding forth the word of Christ. What a privilege. I've shared this with some of you before, but a number of years ago, I was doing some holiday shopping, and I bought somebody in my family a present, and they had this little service like they do in the department stores where they'll wrap the present. And so this little girl, little teenage girl, was wrapping the present. And so she's wrapping the present. I figure, I'm going to start wrapping the word with her. And so I did. I started sharing with her the word, and she's wrapping the present. At a certain point, she looks up to me and she says, what church are you a part of? And then she goes back to wrapping. I said, well, I'm a part of the body of Christ. And she says to me, I've never heard of that one. And then I said, and you know, we have a really dynamic leader. She said, oh yeah, who? I said, Jesus Christ. She said, I heard of Him. But you stop and think about it. We're a part of the body of Christ. It's the greatest organization in the history of the universe. You know, it's just the magnificence of God's grace. It's the calling of the one body. He's called each one of us. He set us as members in particular. We are so privileged to be His kids. To have a Father that hears and answers our prayers, that directs our steps, that allows us to work with Him. It's just the best. And we have the best head of the organization that could possibly ever be, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so privileged, and it's now our wonderful privilege to get busy serving, to get busy doing the Father's will, to go into all the world, to be able to pray, to be able to help, to be able to assist. And this class has been able to help all of us, I'm sure. I think Bruce and I would say we're at the top of the list of people that it helps. To be able to grow in our operation of the power of God. But it's each one of our privilege, it's each one of our responsibility, it's each one of our free will decision what we're going to do with the information. There's a wonderful verse that I thought would be great to conclude this class in Psalm 119, verse 126. It says, it is time for thee, Lord, to what? Work. Boy, isn't that so true even today? It is time for God to work. But for God to work, we've got to work with Him. And we've been called to be workers together. God has promised that His Word works, that His Word works in us. He has promised that He works in each one of us via the Spirit. And He's given us wonderful work to do for Him. So I love this. It is time for thee, God, to work. We get the privilege of working with Him. So, Heavenly Father, thank You for the class that we've had here and for the wonderful manifestations that You've given us to learn about and to operate. Father, we're thankful to be a part of this church, the body of Christ, and each one of us to be members in particular and have a much needed and vital function to perform. Father, we ask that in the hours and days and weeks ahead that there be wonderful opportunities for each one of us to practice this information, to grow in our knowledgeable operation of the manifestations. Father, we ask that there will be doors of utterance so that we can help others and speak the truth in love. And Father, we pray for the continued outreach of Your word in not only this part of the country, but all over the world. Father, we're so thankful for Your grace, Your goodness, Your tender mercies towards us. And Father, we're so grateful for Your wonderful, matchless word. And it's in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.